Hey there, folks, over at CommanderCast.com, MTGCast.com, and CommanderSociety.com. It's time for another episode of Rivals Duel, the show where no one commented and nothing has happened because, oh my god, this episode is going to be so long, we can't talk about anything else.
We did get a couple comments, but they were well-rounded, here's why I disagree with your point type comments.
Okay, which ones were those?
Let me go, and I need to pull them up. Riff for me while I...
Riff for you while you pull them up. Oh man, we got... No, we didn't. We got two comments. Cool. Yeah. Never mind.
Yeah, that 19 is not us.
Yeah, I was about to be like, what the sweet hell happened in our comment section? Actually, I did want to mention this. Bad Wolf made a post of something that I realized that's an obvious thing about partner that I somehow forgot in the last episode when we were talking about partner. He said, basically, he pointed out that and good call for catching me on this, Bad Wolf. I had come to this conclusion earlier, but for some reason in the episode, I just completely blanked out about it. The reason you can't have a commander partner with anyone is because if that was the case, everyone would play a partner commander. Like, there's no reason not to play a partner commander, no matter what deck you build. You could just throw it in to splash more colors or to have access to another general at any time. There's no downside to playing a partner commander. Right. So everyone would always have one.
Yeah, that's a reason number 20. It's funny because he says, I could not agree with you more on partner being able to pair. And maybe we weren't clear, but I was firmly in the partner shouldn't be allowed to pair with anything camp from the time they spoiled partner.
Yes. Thank you, Bad Wolf. Also, awesome username. But I did realize that, but when we were talking about our New Year stuff, I'd completely forgotten that you obviously can't have partner work with any legendary because you'd always have a partner. Yeah. People would just like splash Vile Smasher into anything, Doran. For no reason, just to get another partner in there. That isn't the partner you choose for Doran, but it's just an example.
Yeah, you're correct. But, yeah, like, there's reason number 558 why we're not doing partner commanders.
Mm-hmm. So, I think that's it. Jeremy mentioned that he disagrees with us about Saskia. He thinks Saskia is good, but that he has had poor luck with Yidris.
Yeah, that's kind of my thing, is that Yidris is too obviously powerful, and therefore people get afraid of it.
Mm-hmm. I still don't think Saskia's great. I think she's okay, but I don't think she's awesome. Another friend of mine is playing a Saskia deck right now, and he says that she's plenty good. But I don't see it. It's too much of a dick move to me to cast her and call someone out immediately.
I for the most part agree. I think it makes it. But I'm also the person who sits on my heels a lot in Commander and prefers to play Least Insight until I'm ready to win.
When I kill someone, I don't want them to know it's immediately coming, unless they did something to upset me, because then I would be like, well, now I'm gonna let you know that I'm gonna kill you. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Also a 3/4. Come on.
Yeah, it needs. I wish it had a little bit more oomph. But in reality, though, you're doing 6 damage with each time you attack, so...
Yeah, but still, a 3/4.
Fair enough. Anyway, that's enough of that. Let's talk about Aether Revolt.
Yes. Oh my god. So, we have a lot to talk about in terms of this set, because we have managed to make it all the way to our set review without mentioning a single card from Aether Revolt. So, we have 4 Planeswalkers and 6 Legendary Creatures to talk about, and a series of Masterpieces. Should we start with the Masterpieces, then do the Planeswalkers, then do the Legends, and then do the set proper?
Sure, if you want to.
Yeah, just
sure.
Do it in that order.
Yeah, there are some very sexy Masterpieces in this set.
I will say that there are some very sexy Masterpieces, however, I think that this is far and away a weaker Masterpiece series than the last one.
Sure. There's a lot less Commander ones. Like, if I look at this, because we had, like, Sol Ring and Mana Crypt and Mana Vault, and part of that is, too, is also the first time they're rolling out these Masterpieces, so they had to. Or really, when I look at this set, the two new ones are kind of EDH-y. Defense Grid is kind of EDHE. Duplicant. Extra Planar Lens is pretty yeah. commandery. O-Stone, kind of.
I don't think that's it in terms of commandery. I just think that they wanted to make a big splash with the first one, so they put their best ones in the first run through. Because remember, all the really scary swords are in the first Masterpiece series. Mm-hmm. This one has swords in it, but it's the two less good ones.
Yeah.
And there's no reason. Like, they didn't follow any pattern except the good swords were in one set and the less good swords were in another. It's not like all the ally color ones were in one or all the enemy color ones were in another.
Everyone enjoy this moment. What ally colored swords, Eric?
Oh, yeah, that's right. But no, like, they didn't even do it based on set or anything mm-hmm. like that. They didn't do old Mirrodin in one set of Masterpieces and new Mirrodin in another.
Oh, yeah, the break was good and bad.
Yeah, exactly. Solemn and Steel Overseer were in the first one. Steel Overseer is not an EDH card, but that's still a legacy card, right? Or not legacy, but modern.
It sees some play in some modern decks.
Yeah. Lightning Greaves, Lotus Petal. Poof.
Sure. I mean, on this one, we have Platinum Angel's an EDH card. We have.
It's a bad EDH card. Stop playing Platinum Angel. It's not good.
Yeah, but people still. But what other format plays it?
Fine.
Wormcoil
Engine and Duplicant are good ones. Oblivion Stone, there's going to be a lot of happy people who open that, like, what is it now, $30 for the normal Oblivion Stone?
Yeah, it's up there because it's seen playing modern. There is the Ornithopter, which is Giggle Giggle Booby Prize until you realize that's one everybody wants. Ornithopter?
Mm-hmm.
The reason why that is so giggly is that, like, at least in my meta, I have people who are going to try to completely masterpiece their affinity decks.
Oh, Jesus. Those people have something wrong in their heads.
I won't argue that, but not because they want to have that. I just know them too well. Also worth noting on this, these might be the worst swords, but they look much better.
I agree. These swords look way cooler than the ones in the last set.
These swords look like swords.
Yeah, the Sword of War and Peace kind of looks like a generic, like, Zelda or anime hero sword. The Sword of Body and Mind looks like the coolest swashbuckling saber I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it's got like a almost like a fencer's rapier look to it, and
mm-hmm.
I like it greatly.
I also like it greatly. Staff of Domination. Oof. And this Staff of Domination looks very reminiscent of the normal Staff of Domination. Of all the arts, I think this one is the one that conjures up the old art the most.
Yeah, it's very evocative of the old one.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike Duplicant or Ensnaring Bridge that don't look at all like the other ones.
Duplicant doesn't even look like a duplicant. It looks like Mega Man. Like, I get that he's got a Metroid cannon in his hand. I get that he's going to kill something, but how is he going to duplicate it after? I like the other recent art for Duplicant more. It was originally in
Commander's Arsenal.
Yeah, Commander's Arsenal, and then it got reprinted. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that art. That's my favorite art for Duplicant.
Yeah, and the two new ones, which we'll talk about those when we get into the actual cards, but those are both kind of Commander-y.
Mm-hmm.
One of them screams Commander, the other one is still probably a pretty Commander-y card.
Extra Planar Lens and Vidalcan Shackles, definitely Commander-y.
Sure, Vidalcan Shackles less, but yeah.
I see a lot of Vidalcan Shackles. That might be a meta thing, though.
Sure. I see a lot of Lens. And Lens, Commander's the only format where you play it.
Mm-hmm. And then after that, there's like quite a few lockdown type of stuff, right? There's a lot of stacksy things in this one.
Yeah, like you got your Defense Grid and Sphere of Resistance. And
yeah. So, I mean, obviously, no one's going to complain about the fact that they opened up a Masterpiece, but I think that if I was chasing Masterpieces, I'd much rather open Kaladesh than Aether Revolt.
Sure. If you're planning on chasing Masterpieces by opening packs, may I recommend the idea of buying singles?
Yes,
but,
obvious.
Yeah, because your odds are not good, but
speaking of things you can't get in packs.
Oh yeah, let's talk about some Planeswalkers.
Some planeswalkers that are strictly in the intro deck. 2 6 mana planeswalkers, which immediately makes Eric not like them a whole lot.
All right, you hate these out of spite, but for me, I'm going one of these is kind of cool.
I don't hate them out of spite. I just think that 6 mana is a lot, and these guys aren't going to be worth it. But please go ahead.
7 mana is a lot. But let's talk about these planeswalkers. First one is, let's talk about the less exciting one first, at least in my mind, and Ajani Valiant Protector. This one is Selesnya. It is green, white, and 4 for a Planeswalker Ajani. Starting loyalty at 4. Then +2, put a +1/+1 counter on up to one target creature. +1, reveal cards from the top of your library until you reveal a creature card. Put that card into your hand and the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. And -11, put X +1/+1 counters on target creature where X is your life total. That creature gains trample until end of turn.
-11?
Yeah.
Wow. This is not a good card.
No, this one is pretty bad.
This is a very, very expensive card that I don't think is going to make it into any Super Friends decks anytime soon. All right,
I'm not.
Shall I...
Admittedly, it has two plus. It has two plus abilities, which is nice.
Yeah,
but
that tick up at 2 and 1 at a time.
Yeah.
So you could go for that big -11, starting loyalty 4.
That doesn't say you win the game on it.
No, I mean, it you can, but not necessarily.
Right, well,
not really.
Unlike a lot of them that just flat out say, yep, you're going to win. Like Koth. Koth basically says you win the game in a couple turns.
Mm-hmm.
Tamiyo says
you
win the game in a couple turns. This says you have a big dude.
You know what I wish they did? I wish they put the you can use this planeswalker as your commander clause on the intro pack planeswalkers. That wouldn't make these any. That wouldn't make this guy any better in my mind. Just like say, getting that out there now. However, I do wish they had done that. That seems like a really good way to print more planeswalkers you can use as commanders.
Sure.
Anyway, shall I break down the other one?
Sure.
Tezzeret, Master of Metal. He's 4 and Dimir to cast, and he's got 5 starting loyalty. So 6 mana again for one more loyalty. His +1 is reveal cards from the top of your library until you reveal an artifact card. Put that card into your hand and the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. So draw an artifact. -3, target opponent loses life equal to the number of artifacts you control. That's not terrible. And -8, gain control of all artifacts and creatures target opponent controls. Pretty saucy.
Yeah, this one has a bunch of abilities that are EDH good to playable.
He also costs 6.
That's the downside. Now, if you're in some, like, if you're in a deck that's already running Thopter Sword combo, or already running the other three Tezzerets, and you just need more...
You're running Dreadlocks and Metal Arms, the theme deck. I mean, sure, but this guy is a planeswalker that costs 6 and has 0 ability to defend himself.
Right.
Like, nothing he does protects him.
Except for just randomly killing opponents with that -3 out of nowhere.
I mean, yeah, in the same way that my counter spell is a burn spell.
Sure.
Yeah, no, I'm not fond of either of these planeswalkers. I'm glad that you like Tezzeret, but yeah, I'm not crazy about any of them.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go and talk about the two planeswalkers that are actually in the set, so that when we're done, we can move on to that new legendary artifact guy you've always wanted.
I'm gonna hurt you.
So there's another 6 mana Ajani. He's 4 and a Selesnya. He's got 4 starting loyalty, and his +2 ability is reveal the top 3 cards of your library. Put all non-land permanent cards revealed this way into your hand and the rest on the bottom of your library in any order, which can be very good or very bad. He has a -2 to exile target creature, and its controller gains life equal to its power. That's pretty good. And then his -9 is put 5 +1/+1 counter on each creature you control, and 5 loyalty counters on each other planeswalker you control. Ooh, boy, Super Friends.
Oh man, every Super Friends deck.
Yeah. I mean, he might be too expensive for some Super Friends decks still at 6, but, like, that's... If you ever get that off, that's a big deal.
Yeah, the chain reaction that should happen there This
is
is a
horrifying.
planeswalker who says you win the game on it.
Well, situationally win the game. He doesn't just win the game. Not in the same way that Tamio and Koth do.
Sure, but if you have any board presence at all, popping that ultimate should win you the game.
Mm-hmm. Alright, and do you want to break down the other Tezzeret?
Sure. We have Tezzeret the Schemer. Tezzeret the Schemer, blue, black, and two for a Planeswalker Tezzeret, 5 starting loyalty. Has a plus 1 of create a colorless artifact token named Ethereum Cell with tap. Sacrifice this artifact, add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. -2, target creature gets plus X minus X until end of turn, where X is the number of artifacts you control. And -7, you get an emblem with at the beginning of combat on your turn. Target artifact you control becomes an artifact creature with base power toughness 5/5.
Mm-hmm.
This card is cool.
It's cool. It's Tezzeret-y.
Yeah, I don't know. It is by no means bustedly good. It's not going to get champion every Dimir deck ever. If you're in a Dimir plus artifact deck, this is probably fine.
I think that both of the other Tezzerets are probably better, aren't they?
I would say so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this one has removal stapled to it, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I still like the other Tezzerets better, but I'm not gonna give anyone flack for playing this one.
I do wonder if whoever designed these Planeswalkers was on a deadline or had to copy-paste, because they mirror each other a lot.
How do you mean?
Like, their plus ones are both... Well, I guess not... less than I think. I'm just seeing, like, they both have a -2 removal. They both have a plus that gives advantages. They both have an ultimate that should win you the game in short order.
Mm-hmm. You described a lot of Planeswalkers with that particular breakdown. But yeah, I don't know. Like, they don't have a super distinct play. I guess Tezzeret is artifacty, and that's what makes him distinct. But other than that, yeah, I don't know. Maybe we've just seen too many Planeswalkers at this point.
Maybe we've become jaded.
Jaded and bored with Planeswalkers.
Or it's just that we look for straight power level ones. Like, we look at Liliana the Last Hope and go, ooh, and see these and go, eh?
Yes.
All right. So let's hop into some legendary creatures.
Yeah, the actual legendary creatures, and not the ones I'm taunting you about. Right. Before we get into the chromatic ones, do we want to talk about our lone colorless legend?
Oh, yeah, let's talk about this colorless guy.
I like this guy. No, I love him. He's like the little Thomas the Tank Engine of colorless generals. This is Hope of Ghirapur. He's a 1-mana 1/1 flyer. He's a legendary artifact creature Thopter. So if you wanted to play Thopter Tribal, here's your legend. And he has flying and sacrifice Hope of Ghirapur until your next turn. Target player who is dealt combat damage by Hope of Ghirapur this turn can't cast non-creature spells.
Yeah, this is an adorable little card. I don't know that I ever would run this as my general, but I can see running it in a lot of decks.
I could see running it in a lot of decks, too. It's some pretty powerful anti-counterspell stuff, and it's really good in any decks that like to recur. When I saw this card for the first time, my immediate thought was, oh, wow, you know, Marin of the... Is it Marin of Clan Nel'Toth? Marin, yes.
Yeah, Marin could get real filthy with this real fast.
Yeah, Marin of Clan Nel'Toth. I always confuse Marin and Marilyn. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Marin loves this card. Anything that's not Gruul, really, could benefit from this card in the same way they can from Cavern of Souls. That being said, it's really, really a meta choice. You play this card when you're facing down a lot of counterspells and don't want to be facing down those counterspells anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You don't necessarily just slot it willy-nilly into any deck. It's not a card that's always good.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree. It's definitely a meta choice. But yeah, not a bad card. Just this doesn't need legendary on it.
It doesn't need legendary, but it does. And you can play You Can't Counter Me the deck.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm just saying it seems underpowered for a general, like, as a general, I would not want this card as my general ever.
I'm going to make a Hope of Ghirapur deck just because you said that.
Okay. I'll build
and
the
it's going to make What were you going to say?
I'll build the one with the mono blue legend coming up and make you cry.
I'll play Hope of Ghirapur and I'll prevent you from ever 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 countering the Kozlik I cast in that colorless deck.
Except for when I counter your Hope of Ghirapur till it's uncastably expensive.
Never gonna happen. I refuse.
Right. Anyway, let's go up to the, let's go up to these monocolored legends.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're pretty good.
Do we want to skip to the mono blue one since you've mentioned them?
We can, because when it's spoiled, I feel like I could hear you crying from here.
I mean, it's okay. Let's take a look.
This is Baral, Chief of Compliance. He is blue and one for a 1/3 legendary creature, human wizard. Instance and sorcery spells you cast cost one less, and whenever a spell or ability counters a spell or ability you control counters a spell, you may draw a card. If you do, discard a card.
Yep. He rewards you for playing the mono blue nothing but counterspells deck, and like that's a miserable deck. But that being said, I mean, we've seen generals for the mono blue counterspell deck before. I don't know if Baral is really that much better than, say, the merman who makes elementals, or not elementals, drakes.
Drakes.
Yeah. I in fact I think he's probably worse.
It depends on how you're like the other one has the advantage of coming stapled with a win condition where this one doesn't. This one lets you go deeper for just a purer out like doubling cube combo-esque feel to it.
The other thing is that if I sit down at a table and someone's playing this deck, I feel like I'm definitely going to try and hate them out of the board, but I also feel like I'm not going to be the only one. So
right. This
is like,
makes you a real obvious target.
Yeah, this general just kind of screams, I'm the douchiest one here, punch me in the face until I cry.
Mm-hmm. But you can play it in tiny leaders because that format's still a thing. Ha ha, hee hee.
Yeah. I mean, it's powerful,
yeah.
But I'm not particularly scared of it. I learned that lesson with Lavinia of the Tenth, because if someone really wanted to step on my family jewels, they'd make a Lavinia of the Tenth deck, and people don't really do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm fine.
This deck is just this. When I saw this card, I'm like, huh? It's everything Eric hates about blue.
I mean, it really, really is. But whatever, I'm used to that from blue too. That being said, here's a white card that I was very excited about.
Yeah, this is a cool white card. Go ahead.
Yeah, kind of got the opposite effect for me. It's SRAM Senior Edificer. It's 2 mana again. This guy's a 2/2, and he's a legendary dwarf advisor. Whenever you cast an aura, equipment, or vehicle, you draw a card. Whenever you cast, so they don't have to resolve.
Mm-hmm.
That's super, super good. Me and you are always complaining that card advantage in white is really, really hard to come by,
mm-hmm.
and it's difficult to find a mono-white general that you want to build around. I want to build around this guy.
Sure.
One of my favorite cards to draw in white is Pure Steel Paladin,
mm-hmm.
and this guy is Pure Steel Paladin plus.
Yeah, if you ever wanted to have Mesa Enchantress be your general.
Yeah, he gets auras, equipments, and vehicle. Like, the fact that he gets vehicles as well, it doesn't have to be there. They could have stopped at aura and equipment, but I like that vehicles is in there as well, because that's cute. Like, for all the 3 vehicles you're going to run in that deck.
Right.
Yeah, I'm fond of this guy. He doesn't have nearly enough beard for a dwarf for me, but other than that, like, we can get along.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, can I talk about the next one too?
Sure.
So the next one is the black in the monocolor cycle,
mm-hmm.
and it's Yahini, Undying Partisan. It's 2 and a black for a 2/2, legendary Aetherborn Vampire with haste. Whenever a creature an opponent controls dies, put a +1/+1 counter on Yahini, Undying Partisan, and sacrifice another creature. Yahini gains indestructible until end of turn.
Yeah.
So, once upon a time, there was a card printed that I opened a copy of, looked at, thought it was terrible, and just threw it in my collection. And that card was called Falconwrath Aristocrat.
Oh.
And then later on in my EDH career, I was building a Lysolde the Blood Witch deck, and I decided to give Falconwrath Aristocrat another try. I thought that I had been unfair the first time and too quick to dismiss it. Oh, am I ever glad I did that. That is still, to this day, one of my favorite Magic cards ever printed.
Mm-hmm.
Falconwrath Aristocrat constantly just performed wonders for me. It just... I still don't get what makes it so good. Flying and haste, 4 power, that's all good. I understand how that works. The ability to sack something, make it indestructible, the ability for it to get bigger. But Falcon Wrath Aristocrat is a card I hold up as the example of something being greater than the sum of its parts. That card just runs so well once it hits the battlefield, and I don't know why, but it's really hard to remove. It's really aggressive. It doesn't scream hit me in the face in the same way a lot of threats do. It's just great. Mm-hmm. And someone printed a mono black tiny general version of it.
Yeah, this card is sweet. And it also has, I think one of the things that a lot of people overlook is the ability to sacrifice things without a cost.
Yes.
Somebody who has put Carrion Feeder in a lot of commander decks. Basically, so it could have literally just said sacrifice a creature.
Mm-hmm.
On it, like having that ability without a cost or a tap or anything to it is huge. You can't Absolutely. Steal my stuff.
Do note it does say another creature, so sure. Yahini can't do the ye olde sack itself to who itself to protect itself.
Sure,
but still super super cool. I love that it gets bigger. I love that it can get indestructible. Indestructible is a keyword that doesn't appear on cards all that often. And I love that it's got haste and it's 3 mana. I also don't do terribly well with mono black decks usually, but this is one I want to give a shot.
Yeah, this deck is sweet, or this card is sweet. Now let's talk All right. about one that is a wonderful, flavory, happy card, is a kind of cool mono red card, but isn't really a commander card.
No, not so much.
This is Kari Zev Skyship Raider. She is a 1/3 for red and one human pirate. So if you're looking for your mono red pirate deck.
Yeah, mono red pirate tribal, man.
Yeah.
Didn't you know? It also fits into another archetype.
What? Red white humans?
Mono red monkey tribal.
There is that, because this card has.
When you want to play mono red Kurt Ape.
Right. It is a 1/3 first strike and menace. When Kari Zev Skyship Raider attacks, create a legendary 2/1 red monkey creature token named Raghavan that's tapped and attacking. Exile that token at end of combat.
This card is just the weirdest mishmash of things I've ever seen.
So I had this card in my sealed pool at the pre-release.
Yeah.
This card is great in that format.
Yes.
But as far as having to play with the big boys,
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Like, I'd love to be able to, and it's a cool card. It makes a legendary monkey token.
Mm-hmm. But it's, okay, so that part makes sense, right? 2 mana, and it makes a 2/1 monkey when it attacks. All of that makes sense to me.
It's a 1/3.
It's a 1/3. I don't know why. It's a really weird stat line for a card that's aggressive, and it's a really, really, really weird stat line for a red card.
Would you like to know why it's a 1/3? I can actually answer this.
Why is it a 1/3?
It's because of all the servos in Limited. And that in order to block this and kill it, you have to block with, I think it's... Yeah, you have to block with 4 servos to kill it. It's supposed to be hard for servos to kill.
Okay.
That's the 3 butt. As far as one toughness, it's a first
strike. You mean one attack?
Yeah, well, that's why the 3 butt. It's just, it's made so that you can't, the one attack is probably a balancing on the other side to make sure it's not too good. Because at a 2/3, this would be real dangerous. A 2/3 first striker for 2.
Yeah, I would much rather see this as a 2/3 or 3/3 and bump up the mana cost by 1.
Sure, but you also need to be able to, I see, this, let's be honest, this is not an EDH card.
This is not a card that was meant for EDH.
Yeah.
First Strike and Menace are also a really weird pair of abilities.
It makes it real hard to value block this.
I get that. I understand that part.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a really odd pair of abilities. I'm going to make an ability that's only relevant when I'm blocked. But I'm going to pair it with an ability that makes it more difficult to block. It's like skulk and flanking.
Right, but it's just cranking up the how hard it is to block that one profitably. Or you have to use a lot of resources at it so you get hit with the monkey.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, you don't spank the monkey spanks you.
Pretty much. With that, let's move on from the monkey spanking part of the program to... This is Risha, Pima Renegade.
This is a card that is decidedly meh.
This card is kind of cool. Green and 2 for a 2/2 elf druid. When Risha and enters the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on each of up to 2 target creatures. Each creature you control with a counter on it has tap, add green to your mana pool.
Is it Rishka or Rishkar?
It's probably Rishkar.
Rishkar. There's an R in the end there. Cool. Yeah.
I will promise now, my Indian root word fantasy naming, I apologize in advance that I'm going to butcher several of these.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That being said, why do you think this card is cool?
First of all, every Experiment Kraj deck is kind of wetting themselves about it.
Yeah, there is that. But...
And Elf Ball decks are, too.
Are they?
Yeah, because you all of a sudden 2 more of your elves are Land of War elves.
Like, all right.
This card effect, if you have 2 dudes out that you're not attacking with, this card costs 1 mana.
That's fair, but I don't know. I definitely don't see it as a general. In some decks, I see it. Yeah. As a general, no.
And I agree. For the most part, you're going to see this as it's going to be real good in Kraj. It's going to be real good in any +1/+1 counters matter.
Mm-hmm. Varel, Marath, Gave.
Yeah,
but
your usual suspects will really love this card. But obvious cards are obvious, and you're right. It's probably, if you're looking at +1/+1 counter matter or elf matters, there are better generals in both categories.
Mm-hmm. That's all right. And now we can move through the cards proper.
Yay!
Only, what, 30 minutes into the show?
Not
25 minutes into the
45.
Show? Oh, yay. That's okay. Because we're going to try and scroll through this quickly so that some of us can get to sleep tonight.
Yeah, other people get to stay up and edit.
I will say that there are a handful of really, really powerful cards in this set. And there's also a lot of cards that definitely don't seem EDH worthy.
Yeah, there's a lot of cards. So I wanted to mention this. There's a lot of cards in here that are not for EDH.
There's a lot of cards in here that look like they're made for limited.
Yes, and this limited environment is hard to understand. As somebody who has now played a bunch of sealed flights and have drafted it, I'm very confused.
Okay, so it's not... Are you the only one? Is this like... Are you failing, or is this a thing where many people
This is one that's going to take more than just 1 or 2 drafts to figure out. You know how a lot of draft formats... You kind of draft them once or twice and get it. There's a lot of Johnny-esque combo pieces in this format.
All
right. That eventually the right combination will come together and something cool will happen, but for right now I can't see it.
All right. Well, to start, I think we're starting with the white cards.
Right.
And the first one worth mentioning is Aether Geode Miner.
It's worth mentioning.
It's a 1-white 3/1. It's a Dwarf Scout. Whenever it attacks, you get 2 energy, and you can pay 2 energy to blink it. It's kind of Mist Metal Witchy. This is a unique effect, right? Being able to pour the mana in to just blink this thing.
Pour the energy into blinking it, yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, the energy, yeah. Do blink decks care about this?
I don't think blink decks care, because it can only blink itself.
Yeah, all right.
The deck I think that wants this is Afara, God of the Polis.
Oh, there you go.
She thinks this card is cool, but
yeah.
Everybody else, eh?
I'm thinking like a Soul Sisters type deck or something. Anyway.
I mean, sure, it blinks for free, but...
Yeah, other than that, there's nothing special?
Yeah.
Cool. Going down...
Call for Unity is sweet.
Call for Unity, yeah. Go ahead.
This is one that has that thing called Revolt. This is a new ability. Oh, it's an enchantment for white and 3. And Revolt cares about at the beginning of your end step, if a permanent you controlled left the battlefield. So this one has, at the beginning of your end step, if a permanent you control left the battlefield this turn, put a Unity counter on Call for Unity. Creatures you control get +1/+1 for each Unity counter on Call for Unity.
Yeah, this is a super, super cool kind of growing anthem effect.
Yeah, this is a less... Okay, full confession time. I have read other people's reviews of this set, and someone else pointed out quite accurately, this is a less housekeeping-y Cathars Crusade.
I mean, it's a less combo-y Cathars Crusade.
Mm-hmm. But it's also because the counters are going on this and not on every creature.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. I like the fact that it's a constantly growing anthem effect. I think 5 mana was exactly the right cost for this, too.
Right. This card will be good, but not oppressively broken.
I will say that Revolt is one of the most powerful keywords we've seen in a while.
It's a very interesting keyword. It's also, it's worth pointing out too, this is worth pointing out, Revolt only cares about your end step, it doesn't care about each player's, and you only get one Revolt trigger regardless of how many things died. Those are pre-release-esque questions that have been asked to me already.
And some things trigger Revolt when they enter the battlefield, right? Or when you're casting them.
No, that's Revolt always, some of them will say, some of them will have a Revolt trigger that says when you cast this, or something like that, if you had something already leave, sure.
But a permanent will, like a permanent that has a constant triggered effect, like the Call for Unity enchantment, is always going to be on end step. But like right above it, Airdrop Aeronauts is one that triggers as it enters the battlefield.
Yep.
All right, cool. Consulate Craftdown is kind of worth mentioning. It's
I want to back up to one more. Caught in the Bryce is cute. That's adorable. It's a gremlin about to be run over by a truck.
To be fair, if we're talking about like the cutest art in this set, we're gonna be competing with a lot of gremlins.
Oh, so we're as always, there will be talk of art cards.
Yeah, gremlins are.
They did a lot of cute things with the gremlins in here.
They did. I am kind of annoyed that Wizards keeps printing non-goblin tribes, like the gremlins or devils, but, like, these guys are cute.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm sorry, you were talking about Consulate Crackdown.
Yeah, kind of a weird O-ring type effect. It's 3 and 2 white for an enchantment, and when it enters the battlefield, you exile all artifacts your opponents control until it leaves the battlefield. It's kind of, I guess it's a worst of that, is it Overload card? You know the one, the Vandal?
Yeah, it's kind of Vandal Blasty.
Yeah,
it's kind of Crux of Fady, except it's for everyone's artifact versus one card for permanent.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool, though. There will be a time where someone will be trying to blow this up to get their good stuff back, and other players will be stopping them.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Like, it's cool, it takes all your opponents. So, if I have, say I'm playing against a Shroom player, and I get to get, you know, I have your Soul Ring and your Loxodon Warhammer, but I have the entire Shroom's combo engine.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you're going, you know, I don't need that Soul Ring that much right now.
Yeah, I think
I will
that
do what I can to defend the Crackdown.
I think that it's not superior to normal artifact removal, except in an Enchantress deck.
Sure.
The fact that the effect is on an enchantment is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Decommission is cool, not for anything except for the flavor text.
Hmm.
I'm moving ahead.
Oh, decommission. No, I just scrolled right past it. Is its vulnerability to repeated forceful blows. Cute. Do you want to talk about Exquisite Archangel?
Sure, in that this card will see some play.
It's kind of the same as Platinum Angel, a little bit.
Yeah, kind of. It is white, white, and 5 for a 5/5 flying angel. And when you if you would lose the game, instead exile Exquisite Archangel, and your life total becomes equal to your starting life total.
Very, very much a Platinum Angel.
Yeah, and same level of, like, hoping that it doesn't die like Platinum Angel does.
Mm-hmm. I don't think Platinum Angel's a particularly good card, so I don't think this is a particularly good card, but that is neither here nor there.
Can we talk about a card that is actually good and doesn't look like it?
Okay.
Restoration Specialist. It's a little dopey. It's next to Solemn Recruit. It's another dopey uncommon.
I don't think this card doesn't look good.
So a lot of people said, oh, this card's not that good. This card's great. This is a 2-for-1 return on investment on a 2-1 body.
Yeah, this is a super good card. One of the cards that I always thought of as being undervalued is a 3-mana card from the Mirrodin, or the New Phyrexia block, I guess. Mirrodin Besiege. What was... Oh, Scars of Mirrodin. Yeah, that one, the first set in the block. From the Scars of Mirrodin block, there's a 3-mana white spell that has choose one or both, return target creature to your hand, or return target artifact to your hand. And I thought that card was massively underplayed. This is a very similar effect on a card that comes back with Sun Titan.
Yeah, or, you know, I can reanimate this, I can cheat with this. Like, I'm a big fan
throw
of this
card.
Throw
it to a Skull Clamp, it's an emergency blocker. This is a really, really good card.
Yeah. By the way, what this card actually says on it, because we haven't said that yet, pay white, sacrifice it, return up to one target artifact and up to one target enchantment card from your graveyard to your hand.
And if you're playing the SRAM deck, this dwarf is on point.
Yeah. Solemn Recruit's just a big dumb beater.
Solemn Recruit is not a big dumb beater. It's a medium-sized beater that becomes bigger.
Right.
That being said, I mean, you care about Solemn Recruit if you're playing a deck that wants as much double strike as possible. That's about it.
Sure.
How about we talk about SRAM's expertise, just so we can kind of talk about the expertise cards. These cards, the white one is one of the least powerful, but these cards are super powerful overall.
Yes, they are. What they do is they have some ability, and then you can cast a card for one less of its converted mana cost from your hand without paying its mana cost. So, for example, SRAM's expertise costs white, and two for a sorcery that says create 3/1/1 colorless servo artifact creature tokens, and you may cast a converted mana card 3 or less from your hand without paying its mana cost.
Yeah, the green one in particular is just hideous, but we'll talk about that when we get to it.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it, but all of these cards are pretty good. This card is fine. I mean,
this one is fine. And that's the thing, none of them are bad, but like some of them are
bonkersly powerful.
Real backbreaking. This one is one of the, this one and the red one, I think, are in particular, are just kind of fine.
I like the red one more than the blue one. Anyway,
okay, well, we'll get into all that when we get down. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is 4 mana for 3/1/1s and whatever 3 cost card is in your hand.
Yeah.
And then
we have a weird
another Oblivion Ring. I think we're in the blue.
Yeah, we're into the blue section for sure. The blue has a bunch of weird stuff in it. We have a stupid whale. Stupid whale is stupid. The energy deck is in blue.
Yeah, it's a stupid whale. I like that it looks kind of like the Sky Whale from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
It does. It's another flying whale, but another not as fail whaley as actually still kind of fail whaley because there's still that consulate flagship right there.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I forget how big that ship is, a 5/5, I think.
Yeah. And this
as opposed
is a
to that whale, that's a 6/4.
I mean, it's a really big target.
Right,
but and they've got soft underbellies.
Sure, but this goes in the pile of like, what's the actual fail whale is what?
Oh god,
M15 that I ranted about.
Yeah, I think we've all forgotten the name of that.
Yeah, like I refer to it mostly as fail whale.
That's its name. That's its official name.
And this is yet another whale that is massively disproportionately.
Yeah, incredibly large, itty bitty power punch.
Right, for the size of the whale. Anyway. Yeah. Baral's expertise is the blue one. This is another definition of another okay card.
Mm-hmm.
This is blue, and 3 for a sorcery. Return up to 3 target artifacts and or creatures to their owner's hand, and you can cast something 4 or less.
Okay. I thought this card was better than it was, because when I first read it, I misread it as an instant.
Yeah, if this were an instant, we'd be all over it.
Yes. Sorcery speed, less so, but it's still okay.
It's still fine. Like
it's a three target bounce.
Yeah. This follow up with Mind Sculptor, get wrecked.
Mm-hmm.
Or
it's
this follow up with Mind Sculptor, bounce another creature. Oh yeah. Value.
You could also use it to flicker something of your own if you wanted to target, say, a Solemn Simulacrum. On
sure.
your hand, and then use mm-hmm. bounce it, then cast the card.
Yeah, I need to use this Karmic Guide again.
Yeah, something like that. Well, Karmic Guide doesn't work because it costs more than 4, but Solemn works. All
oh,
of
sure.
the Trinket, Treasure, Trophy Mages work.
Mm.
Stuff like that.
Sure.
Do you want to talk about the fancy new counterspell?
Fancy new counterspell is fancy. Disallow is blue, and 1. Counter target spell, activated ability, or triggered ability. I've kind of been waiting for this card.
Yeah, this card has been a long time coming. Cancel mana cost is probably the right cost for it.
Yeah.
And it's that art is going to be gorgeous in foil.
It is. I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
let's see.
Efficient
oh, yeah,
construction
is,
probably bears mentioning.
One that I wanted to mention. Yeah, okay, so you stopped the same one I did.
Yes.
This is just a good solid engine card. Efficient construction is 2/3. An enchantment, when you cast an artifact spell, create a 1/1 colorless Thopter.
Mm-hmm.
It's a solid engine for a lot of artifact based decks.
Yeah. A blue mythic worth kind of mentioning. This is very similar to another blue card that I used to like a lot. It's called Mechanized Production. It's a 4 mana enchantment aura. It's 2 generic and 2 blue. It has enchant artifact you control, At the beginning of your upkeep, create a token that's a copy of the enchanted artifact. Then if you control 8 or more artifacts with the same name as one another, you win the game. First of all, it's incredibly easy to get 8 or more artifacts with the same name as one another, because Thopters all have the same name. Is that not right?
Yep.
Yeah, so that's how you cheese with this. That being said, this card is like a cheaper and more specialized version of Followed Footsteps, which is a card I actually quite like.
Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously the dream is to put this on, like, Wormcoil Engine or something silly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then I don't care about winning the game with them. I'll just win with all my Wormcoils.
Yeah, well, the other thing is that if those Wormcoils break, all the tokens have the same name.
No, they don't. Or yeah, the tokens do, but the tokens are all named Worm, but they're not named Wormcoil Engine. You're right.
Yeah, no, but, like, all the little worms?
Mm-hmm.
They're artifacts with a name that is blank.
Yeah, well, they're named Worm.
Are they?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was just their type.
Tokens without a name are their type, just like all your goblin tokens are named Goblin.
And clues are all named clues.
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. Do we want to talk about Quicksmith Spy?
Not really.
Yeah, no, it's not very good. All those Quicksmith cards, like, if they affected more than one artifact, they'd be real good.
Mm-hmm.
If they affected more than one artifact, they might be broken.
Yeah, it's worth talking about the improvise mechanic, because I'm looking at Reverse Engineer and it says draw 3 cards on it.
Sure.
I wish improvise did what Convoke did, where I could add a mana of the mana color too, but I also understand them not wanting to repeat Affinity.
That's fair. Yeah, improvise is very much Convoke, except that you can't produce any colored mana using it. It's only colorless.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a very cool improvise card we're going to get to later.
I think the next card talking about is Trophy Mage.
No. Skyship Plunderer.
Oh, yeah. This is one of those cards.
Yeah, Skyship Plunderer is another card for the I Care About Counters decks. Decks I tend not to like very much, but anyway. One and a blue for a 2/1 flyer. It's a human pirate. And whenever Skyship Plunderer deals combat damage to a player, for each kind of counter on target, permanent or player, give that permanent or player another counter of that kind. So you can increase +1/+1 counters if you're in a deck that does that. The big thing I think with this guy is that New Azuri, the Simic Azuri, you can increase your experience counters with him,
yeah,
and benefit greatly from that. You can increase poison counters if you're that kind of dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. This is probably just a fine little value card.
Mm-hmm. Trophy Mage! Go ahead.
This card is cool. This is a human wizard 2/2 for blue and 2. And when Trophy Mage enters the battlefield, you may search your library for an artifact with converted mana cost 3, reveal it, and put it into your hand, then shuffle your library. So we're going to take a real quick moment and play a lightning round of bonkers things that cost artifacts that cost 3. Ready, set, go.
All of the swords.
Vedulkan Shackles.
Staff of Domination.
Mimic Vat.
Trinisphere cost 3, I believe.
Yep. I just had it, not Lodestone Golem, the other one, Sphere of Resistance.
Oblivion Stone.
The Holy Trinity of Mana Rocks, of Darksteel Ingot, Coalition Relic, and, Chromatic Lantern.
Extraplanar Lens.
I feel like we've made our point.
Yeah.
You'd be amazed at how much good stuff costs 3.
And now you can tutor for almost any artifact under the sun and get a 2/2 human wizard body to go with it.
Yep, they've completed this card. When I saw it, I laughed because of that. Then I started thinking about how good it was.
Yeah, it's really good. It is probably better than the other two.
Trinket Mage can get Soul Ring, though.
Trinket Mage gets Soul Ring, but if that Soul Ring doesn't matter, Trinket Mage doesn't usually get much.
Yeah, like a Trinket Mage package. Like, Spotlight, or... Yeah, I admit that, let's put it this way. The high parts on Trinket Mage are really high, but it drops off really quick.
Yeah, but Trophy Mage can get you a board wipe, it can get you swords, it can get you stacks. Like, it gets a lot.
Yeah, I would argue that there are more and better targets with Trophy Mage.
Mm-hmm. And the next card worth mentioning is War of Invention. Speaking of Convoke, War of Invention is essentially Chorus of the Conclave, right? That's the song?
Court of Calling is the card you're
Court of Calling, thank you. Yeah, Court of Calling, four artifacts. It is three blue and X. It is an instant. It has improvise. And search your library for an artifact card with converted mana cost X or less. Put it onto the battlefield, then shuffle your library.
So, yeah, solid card.
Yeah, it's super solid card. It is, I feel like after this set, if you're playing a blue artifact deck, you don't even play card draw anymore. You just play tutors.
You probably have some level of card. You probably still want something, like, but I agree. You're probably at a point where there's enough, like, solid, good, I'll just go get what I want, thanks.
Yeah, that it just, that deck is a deck that never stops shuffling.
Yeah. And we speed off into the black section.
Ooh, this is a section that's going to be fun.
So, Battle at the Bridge? Like, it's a removal spell, and I won a couple games off of it in Limited, but...
Mm-hmm. You can gain life off of it. This is a card that really, like, this is a card that's meh in every deck except for a total artifact deck. Mm-hmm. In a total artifact deck, this is a removal spell that gains you a pretty absurd amount of life.
Yes.
It is a one black and X for a sorcery. Target creature gets minus X until end of turn. You gain X life. And the big deal is that it has improvise.
Mm-hmm.
Daring
Demolition for when all those Dapala decks take over your meta. Is Dapala my new Jorkadeem? No, Jorkadeem is still my Jorkadeem.
You should make a Dapala deck. You're being mean to the dwarves.
No, issues
involved against the dwarven people.
No, you already know. My sweet Boros deck is going to be the interchangeable general that just does combat-y things.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Just run one of the eight mid-range Boros generals.
Yeah. Always swapping it out. No, you know what your Boros deck needs to be is friggin' Bruce Tarl, because he's the coolest of all of them.
He'll be in the switching out.
The deck that all of these guys do the same thing?
Yeah, like, it'll be, like, Avacyn, Gisela.
Okay, so how many are there? There's Gisela. I mean, Avacyn's more controlly. But if you're going straight for combat, you can do Gisela, Aurelia.
Yep. You can go old school and go, not Murkovask, Argus Kos. You can go...
Yeah, kind of Argus Kos. I'm trying to think of good ones. You can get at least five good ones.
Yeah, Bassandra, haha, hee, Therese Nielsen art.
Yeah, if you wanted to. The god.
Yeah.
I'm still... Gisela doubles everything. Eros.
Tajik is pretty good.
Really? Tajik's indestructible, I guess. Bruce Tarr gives something double strike and lifelink. I can almost get five of ones I'd be willing to play. I'd play Aurelia, Gisela, the Bruce Tarl, the new, the Eros. That's the guy whose name I'm blanking on. I feel like I could get one more in.
I feel like you're being silly if you're not saying Avacyn. Because that Avacyn's real good, too. Because it flashes and it makes everything indestructible.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Just combat tricks the deck.
Yeah, like, it's just going to be a combat-focused Boros deck with an interchangeable red-white general. Avacyn should be in that pile.
All right, we should keep going. We're getting distracted.
We're in the black section. Fatal Push is a card that will matter a great deal for formats not this one.
Yes, absolutely. Fatal Push is actually a pretty cool card, but EDH, not so much. Although it is a pretty good sniper for generals.
Sure.
A lot of generals cost four or less.
Mm-hmm.
Glintsleeve Siphoner is pretty cool.
Yeah, this one says draw a card on it.
Yeah. One in a black for a 2/1 with menace, so pretty hard to block. When it enters the battlefield or attacks, you get one energy, and the fact that it generates it as it enters the battlefield as well is pretty important, because that means that on the first attack, you can trigger it. At the beginning of your upkeep, you may pay two energy. If you do, you draw a card and lose one life.
Yep, I still don't know what the energy deck is in Commander. I do feel like a lot of the payoff is in black, though.
I feel like Glissa is the energy deck. Am I wrong?
The problem is the things that make big piles of energy are actually in blue.
Yeah, I don't know. I still feel like Glissa is the energy deck, but that's just me. I feel like black has to be part of it, though. And, like, red actually has a lot of good energy payoff. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what the... Tell us in the comments below what color the energy commander deck is.
Yeah. Whenever you lose... Oh, hang on.
Are we talking about Gonti's Machinations?
No, we are.
Real good.
Is it? All right, go ahead.
The card says, you gain 9 life, don't swing at me.
Yeah.
For 1 black, an enchantment. This, you know who loves this? Dax is the Returned.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
It's a 1 black enchantment. Whenever you lose life for the first turn, you get an energy. Pay 2, sack it. Each opponent loses 3 life. You gain life equal to life lost this way.
Mm-hmm.
So swing at me and I will gain 9, is what this actually says.
Don't gain a lot of life. So speaking of cards that go in Glissa.
Yeah.
The next card is Herald of Anguish. And this is actually, I think, startlingly good in the right deck. 2 black and 5 for a 5/5 flying demon, which is, I think, too much, but it has improvise. So it doesn't cost 7, it costs significantly less. At the beginning of your end step, each opponent discards a card. That seems like a pretty harassing effect. And then the last ability is pay 1 and a black, sack an artifact, and target creature gets -2/-2 until end of turn. This is brutal.
Yeah, this card is pretty good.
Yeah, you play this in an artifact deck and this gets going in any meaningful way, this thing could run the battlefield.
Yeah, I'm in charge.
Meanwhile, it's also like chomping away at your opponent's hands. It's entirely unpleasant.
Yeah, this card's real good.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. We can skip Midnight Entourage.
What, you don't want to talk about the Aetherborn Lord?
It's real good and limited.
There is an Aetherborn Lord. That's all you need to know.
Yeah. I wish Perilous Predicament costed 1 less.
Yeah.
Like that card would be all over if it cost black and 3.
Mm-hmm. Renegade's Getaway is kind of cool.
Oh, is that the Tada spell?
It's the indestructible.
Yeah, it has the guy yelling Tada and running away. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of Batman dropping like a smoke bomb and the little distraction robot, I guess, is what that's supposed to be.
That pops up and goes Tada. Renegade's Getaway, since we've talked so much about it, is a black and 2 instant, target permanent, gains indestructible until end of turn, and create a 1/1 colorless servo artifact creature token.
I know what this is. This is that, like, swapping... I swap myself with a wooden log trick from Naruto.
Sure. Or isn't there a, like, Generation 1 Pokemon move that creates a little stuffy doll that gets in the way?
Yeah, something like that.
Somewhere right now there is a Pokemon nerd who's screaming at us right now.
Mm-hmm. Secret Salvage is not meant for our format.
No. Resourceful Return isn't bad, but it's just a value card.
Yeah. I mean, the Sly Requisitioner is only momentarily worth mentioning because it belongs kind of in the same category as Pawn of Ulamog, and that Desecrator of Skulls, I think, is the other one's name.
Sure.
The guys that make Eldrazi spawn, except those guys are better because those spawn can just be sacked for mana, but these guys are artifacts, so that's relevant.
Mm-hmm. This is probably fine in I feel like there's a black artifact, something black and X artifact deck. This mm-hmm. This might be Glissa, that is going to like play this and Marionette Master and just smash face.
Could be.
And just kill people by inches, but maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe you're real hopeful for that Glissa deck.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe this is how we can build Shattergang.
Sure, I mean that's a way.
I was like, I saw vehicles coming out and I'm like, maybe this is what makes Shattergang good, is it?
Hope Springs Eternal and all that. Let's talk about one more busted black card though.
Yes, let's do that. Yahini's Expertise.
Yeah, this is a black and 2. All creatures get -3/-3 until end of turn, and cast card with converted mana cost 3 or less. So it's a slightly less. What card am I thinking of that was in Origins? Not Dismember.
Not Mutilate? Mutilate? No.
It's all creatures get -4/-4.
Yeah, the pseudo-mutilate. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but it's a slightly smaller that I get to drop a 3-drop after.
Yeah, it's a pseudo-wrath followed by a 3-drop. That's pretty good.
Seems all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is definitely good. Yeah, I will say that there's one of these cards that stands head and shoulders above the others, but this one's probably the second best.
Yeah, this is the second best one.
Mm-hmm. Now we're into the red. There's some good red cards in this set.
Yes, there are.
We're
not going to talk about a good one first. We're going to talk about a weird one first. Who decided the two things on destructive tampering needed to be a thing together?
Yeah.
It's a weird card. It's a sorcery too, so.
They're two red things.
Sure,
And
they are both
I
red
get that,
things.
but like other than that, no, I don't know what's going on.
I'm gonna say that I've gotten beaten numerous times pretty hard by Emerald Gear Smasher.
Yeah, in EDH or in Limited?
In Limited, but
There you go.
I still think that that card's okay.
You know what card isn't okay? Free Jam Regent.
Yeah,
So we're not gonna talk
that
about it.
dragon is. This is not a dragon set. I understand.
This is a very disappointing dragon. So I think the first card we're gonna talk about is one that I'm really looking forward to.
Go for it.
Indomitable Creativity.
Yup.
This is three red and X. So you're thinking, oh, it's kind of like Court of Calling or that blue artifact tutor. No, this is a very different thing. Destroy X target artifacts and or creatures. For each permanent destroyed this way, its controller reveals cards from the top of his or her library until an artifact or creature card is revealed and exiles this card, that card. Those players put the exiled cards onto the battlefield, then shuffle their libraries. This is obviously a way that you can selectively remove some of the biggest threats on the field, and in the same way as Chaos Warp, replace them with something else. Or you can red Gen Wave
I was
yourself.
gonna say, there's a certain red god of the forge that thinks this card is just cool.
Yeah, Pervoros, God of the Forge. So actually, Pervoros was not involved in the debate I had with myself about this card.
Okay.
I was thinking about, because I've been thinking about decks I want to make and keep together, right? I've told you this. And I was thinking, God, which deck do I want to make and keep together more? Doretti or Kranko? Because they're both so good with this card.
Yeah, both of these things will work. Like, this is a like Duretti, because Duretti has the same. Well, Duretti has a well. Those you're gonna have more random artifacts in Duretti and random goblin tokens in Krenko. The reason I thought Purphoros was it's like cool. I have all of these cards that make their Hoardling Outbursts or whatever. I only run six real dudes in the deck.
Yep, and then you just get them all. It is a super multifaceted, super powerful card. This is a mythic that has earned its red emblem.
Yeah, this card's cool. I have a LaFoil one of these in a prize pack. It was a pretty good day.
Oh, I want it. However, mark against this card. Wizards is going to get sued because this card definitely looks like it's got the power sword from Halo like front and center in the
Yes, it
art.
does. The Broken Spire symbol, when tilted that direction, looks like. Yes, it looks like the sword from Halo.
It's a super cool card. I want it in my life. And then we go down. I think the next one we're going to talk about is our pirate's expertise,
Right.
Kari Zev's expertise.
Yeah, I like this card.
All right, go ahead and talk about
This
it
is
then.
Kari Zev's expertise, red, red, and one. It's a sorcery. Gain control of target creature or vehicle until end of turn. Untap it, and it gains haste until end of turn, and you get a free two drop. So I like threaten effects. I like active treason a lot. And having one that also has a two drop stapled to it,
Not the worst thing in the world.
kind of tickles me in all the happy places.
I don't want to hear any more about your happy places.
Hey, leave my happy places alone.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. If you like threaten effects, it's awesome. My only problem with this is that, like, the real value in those cards is that you're saving mana, right? So for, let's say, the black one, that would otherwise cost you 7 mana to do. This would otherwise cost 5 mana, which most decks hit fairly quickly.
Sure. I'm not looking at it like that. So you're looking at it from that direction. I'm already paying three for active treason. Now I'm getting an active treason plus another two drop out of my hand.
Assuming that you have a 2-drop left in your hand.
Sure, but that's the assumption with all of these, right?
Not one of them.
Well, okay, so yeah, the green one that's coming up, then you probably have a five drop in your hand, but
Yeah, no, this I don't like this because 2 or less is the smallest range. That's it.
sure. I like I said, we're looking at it from different ways, and kind of depends on what your opinion of it is.
Yep. Lightning Runner is the
A
other red
card.
mythic.
It is a card.
It is a card. It's actually, I kind of like it. It's double strike and haste. It's 5 mana for a 2/2 with double strike and haste. That's expensive. However, if you're doing the energy thing, it allows you to pay 8 total energy to untap all of the creatures you control, and after this phase, there's an additional combat phase. And there's a lot of decks that really like having additional combat phases.
Sure. And I'm not saying that in that regard it's bad, but this card would be much cuter if it was whenever this dealt combat damage.
How about we talk about a card that you like a lot more?
The one next to it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like me some value.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
This is right up my alley. This is Pia's Revolution, which has silly-looking art on it. I'm going to just throw that out there.
Yeah, I mean, that's quite the hammer she's swinging about that way.
That's quite the hair going back. Actually, is the thing I want to talk about more than the hammer is the Bride of Frankenstein haircut that... she happens to be rocking.
She's moving.
Yeah. Anyway, Mama Nalar's Revolution is red and 2. It's an enchantment. Whenever a non-token artifact is put into your graveyard from the battlefield, return that card to your hand unless target opponent has Pia's Revolution, deal 3 damage to him or her.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you get to Athreos your artifacts.
Yep. And I get to do it over and over again until you realize paying 3 life was a better idea.
This is a card that also made me want to rebuild Duretti.
Yeah, this leans towards Duretti pretty hard.
Yeah, it's this is a super, super cool effect. It's super powerful. I really, really like it. There's not much else to say besides the fact that a lot of people aren't going to want to pay Lightning Bolt all the time. Mm-hmm. People don't like paying extra costs for stuff.
Right.
So,
and it's target opponent, so you either... Yeah. So find the person who's suffering, yeah, who can't afford the 3 life, and say, nope, it's you. And then, yeah, everybody hates him even more because he's not willing to pay the 3 life to shut you down.
Oh, you're a terrible monster.
I love this deck.
Yeah, I knew you'd love this card. I really love this card, too. I'm excited to do something stupid with it. I don't know exactly what the stupid thing is, but I'm going to do it.
I laugh at Ravenous Intruder eating a soul ring.
Mm-hmm.
Is Release the Gremlins a card? I don't think Release the Gremlins is a card.
I mean, it isn't a card, but it's a thing you want to say.
Right.
That, like, Release the Gremlins is what you want to say when you're sitting down at an EDH table. I want to play it for just that, but no, it doesn't even get close to how good Vandal Blast is.
That's what I thought. Wrangle is also funny gremlin art.
It is! Oh my god, Gremlin in a box. That, think about how powerful a weapon a Gremlin in a box is in the world of Kaladesh. And the Gremlin looks so happy about it. He's like the flying squirrel of Gremlins. He's like, here I come to save the day. And he's like swooping in. Looks like he's got gloves on. He's cute. I like the Gremlin.
I enjoy the idea of the rebels at Kaladesh, like, trapping gremlins in live traps and releasing them on the consulate.
Yeah, have you seen the movie Wanted? The really bad movie with Angelina Jolie and they bend bullets?
Yes, I have.
The rat bombs at the end?
Uh-huh.
That's all I can think of when I think of the gremlins. Alright, and now we're getting into the green.
Yep.
There's some nice stuff in here. So, I mean, there's a couple nice things. That's what the theme of this is. A couple really nice cards, and then a lot of limited chaff.
Mm-hmm. Or standard stuff. Like, if you want a whole lot of energy, Aetherwind Bastard is the lizard for you.
Yeah, whenever you enter...
A series of words I'd never thought I'd say.
That is a strange sentence. I'm fairly confident that sentence has never been spoken in human history before today.
Probably not. What can I say?
When
a trailblazer.
When it enters the battlefield or attacks, you get an energy counter for each creature you control. It helps that it's a 7/7 with trample.
Right.
And you can pay an energy and give it +1/+1 until end of turn, which means on the turn it attacks, on the first turn this thing attacks, it's attacking for triple the number or double the number of creatures you control +7 trample,
yeah,
damage. That's quite a bit.
Card's probably fine without any other energy cards.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, a card that thoroughly stomped me in the pre-release.
Oh no.
8 from the Cowl is real good.
This card looks terrifying.
This is green, green, and 3 as an enchantment that has revolt. At the beginning of your end step, if a permanent you controlled left the battlefield this turn, reveal the top card of your library. If it's a permanent card, you may put it onto the battlefield. Otherwise, you may put it on the bottom of your library. So it's Lurking Predators.
Yep, for 1 cheaper.
And triggering a heck of a lot less.
Well, it's...
This is on the
how
end
you
of
mean?
Your turn, you get it one. As
oh.
opposed to Lurking Predators, whenever any player casts a spell.
Yes, that's fair.
So, not as good as Lurking Predators. Still a terrifyingly good card.
I mean, you get lands, though. That's pretty good.
Sure. That
I mean,
is an energy card.
The Green Wheel Liberator is not meant for EDH.
Right.
Three, four, heroic four. Intervention can intervene heroically sometimes.
Yeah,
two
is
mana
that the Wrath Insurance? Yeah.
Yeah, two mana instant permanents you control gain hexproof and indestructible until end of turn.
Mm-hmm. I like those cards more than most. Just I like mm-hmm. Wrath Insurance cards. When someone goes, Wrath of God, I go, ha-ha!
Wrath of God, no.
Yeah, I've played Ready and Willing in a lot more decks than I should have because of that. There's a lot of, like, Revolty cards. There's a lot of... There's another Counters Matters card, but it's not as good.
No. Monstrous Onslaught can be pretty unpleasant, especially if you're playing, like, my Zenigod deck.
Yeah.
The Monstrous Onslaught is 3 and 2 green for a sorcery. It deals X damage divided as you choose among any number of target creatures, where X is the greatest power among creatures you control as you cast Monstrous Onslaught. If you're playing Xenagos or Kresh or something of that nature, this is going to deal quite a bit of damage.
Mm-hmm. I love how every Prey Upon card has the creatures kind of in that same stance.
Yes.
Like we're hiding in the grass away from the fighting.
Yeah, absolutely.
There it is. There's my green card that says draw a billion cards on it.
All right. So Rishkar's expertise, undoubtedly the better or the best of the expertise cards
mm-hmm.
that they have printed, without even close to debate. 4 and 2 green for draw cards equal to the greatest power among creatures you control. You may cast a card with converted mana cost 5 or less from your hand without paying its mana cost.
So, and this could be a card you just drew as well.
Yes, because it works that way. So, I'm very much looking forward to putting this card in my Xenagos deck, for obvious reasons. But, what the dream is to double the power of a Malignus, or something equally massive, draw a billion cards and have that card that I cast for free be Fateful Showdown.
Yeah.
And just dome someone. I really want that to happen. Or Chandra's Ignition. That's pretty good too.
Yeah, Chandra's Ignition seems pretty good.
Yeah, so they've got, like, this is a card I can't wait to get my hands on. Which is unusual, because I don't think I've had a card that I couldn't wait to get my hands on in the last couple sets, if mm-hmm. I'm being honest. Like, I haven't needed to buy a lot from the last couple sets, but this card is, like, it's on my list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's it for the greens, I think.
Yeah, we're definitely headed into multicolored land.
Multicolored, and then we got artifacts, which is going to be a fairly significant section.
Right.
And there's not really anything to talk about in multicolored except one card.
I can see. Well, there's Oath of Ajani, which is literally just for Super Friends.
Mm.
And
yeah.
The other one I think you're looking at is
yes.
definitely an EDH card, and a portent of things to come, we hope. But
yes. Well, obviously.
How annoying would it be if they'd never paid that off?
That
my
would
gosh,
be
if that
the
were a troll
biggest
from
rickroll. That would be the biggest rickroll in Magic history.
Right, like that is worse than like when they printed Lion's Eye Diamond, they didn't have a way to actually have it do anything. Like,
mm-hmm.
like that was at the time a joke card. If they never paid this off,
yeah,
just use the one from Conflux. Her.
Yeah,
do you want
so
to read
dark,
the card we're talking about?
Yeah, Dark Intimations is 2 and Grixis, so 5 total, for a sorcery that says each opponent sacrifices a creature or planeswalker, then discards a card. You return a creature card or planeswalker card from your graveyard to your hand, then draw a card. When you cast a Bolas Planeswalker spell, exile Dark Intimations from your graveyard, that planeswalker enters the battlefield with an additional loyalty counter on it. So obviously it's previewing Nicol Bolas in the next set.
Yeah, and we already knew Nicol Bolas was in the next set, so this is not groundbreaking news at all. But it is
yeah.
it was an interesting card to see new players open at the pre-release. And first of all, who is Nicol Bolas was a question that
yeah.
came up a lot. Or who is Bolas? And some people got to give some information out. And also, there was the, so where's the Volus Planeswalker card in this set? And we got to go,
Yeah, that does, I understand why Watsy did this as a tease of things to come, but that does kind of annoy me. A card that it's full, like that last little paragraph is barely a payoff. I recognize that. But to have it be untriggerable in limited seems strange.
I have Ugin.
Eye
of Ugin was in World Wake with no Eldrazi in it.
Yeah, but in limited, eventually you got that in the block.
Rise of Eldrazi was drafted on its own.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That is, okay, yeah, no, that's fair. And at the time, if I had been playing at the time of Eye of Ugin's release, I probably would have said the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no payoff for this, but this card at least does things without it. Like, I had this in my two-headed giant pool, and this card's real good.
Yeah. All right, and then Oath of Ajani, again, strictly for super friends.
More like Oath of Abjani, am I right? Like, that cat's been hitting the gym.
You get nothing for that.
Really? Because I thought it was pretty good.
No. Stop looking at cat abs.
Be real careful you enunciate that. In fairness, I like Hidden Stockpile, but I also like Dopey cards that don't do anything, so...
Yeah, Hidden Stockpile is kind of neat. It, I mean, it makes servos and lets you scry. Scrying is nice.
Mm-hmm. And lets you sack the servos to keep the revolt up.
Mm-hmm.
So that can be cutesy, but... Let's see.
Yes. I think we're into artifacts.
There have been people going on and on about Tezzeret's Touch. That makes it's basically in Soul Artifact. Oh no, there is one of these we gotta talk about. There's one more other than Tezzeret's Touch we gotta talk about too.
Alright, cool. Tezzeret's Touch seems fine. Very specific.
Yeah, it's if you play in Soul Artifact, you know what this card does.
Mm-hmm.
You just get it. All right, go ahead. I love the awesome mechanized like giant Uber servo in the back.
Mm-hmm.
This is blue, white, and one enchant artifact. Enchant artifact is a creature with base power toughness 5/5 in addition to its other types. And when the enchanted artifact is put into a graveyard, return that card to its owner's hand.
I'm sorry, you said blue, white, and one. It's blue, black, and one.
I'm sorry, blue, black, and one.
It is a Dimir card.
Yep.
Now, what's this other card you said we need to talk about?
Winding Constrictor.
Okay.
Green and black, if one or more counters would be placed on an artifact or creature you control, that many of those counters plus one are placed on that permanent instead. And then the other part of that is if you would get one or more counters, you get that many counters plus one instead. And it's in the same color as Marin of Clan Nel'Toth.
I see what you're doing there, yeah. I mean, I understand what you're going for in terms of you double all of the experience counters that would be placed on Marin.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, Marin gains experience so ludicrously fast as it is, I don't know that it matters.
And not just that, but the mini Corpse Shack Menace that it comes with, too, is pretty good.
Nah, that's alright. Yeah, I give it an okay, but I don't know if I would personally run it in Marin. That deck list is already so full of good things.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now we're into the artifacts, the meat of Kaladesh.
Oh, one other thing you need to look at is the flavor text on the Rakdos card.
Oh yeah. Oh no, I read that. Let's err on the side of glorious mayhem. That sounds like it should be my family crest.
Can that be the new Rivals Duel like theme?
Yeah. Can I get that tattooed on my chest in Latin? Did you hear that?
Nope, I did not.
The girlfriend just goes, I'll leave you if you do.
Yeah,
really, really tiny. Aethersphere Harvester's probably worth talking about.
Really? I mean,
yes.
They banned Looter Scooter in Standard, so maybe.
It's a crew one. It costs 3, and it's a 3/5 that at least twice effectively has lifelink.
Sure. When it enters the battlefield, you get 2 energy. You can pay 1 to give it lifelink, and it has flying. It's okay.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. I think that if you care at all about vehicles, you play this.
Sure. In the vehicle deck, sure.
Mm-hmm.
I was killed by that 7-Eleven in Limited.
You were killed by this 7-Eleven in Limited?
The floating Quickie Mart that's right there? Yeah.
Yeah, floating Quickie. I was about to say, there's a joke here. I'm glad you were the one who pulled it out. Is Cogwork Assembler good? Am I weird for thinking that's good?
It's probably okay. 7 mana is a lot, but...
7 mana is a lot, but I'm thinking of, like, the colorless deck.
Right, yeah. Like,
which throws mana rocks around like it's going out of style.
Sure. I mean, yeah. The dream is obviously Wurmcoil Engine.
Mm-hmm. Or Mindslaver, I guess. Oh, Mindslaver's the legendary.
Yeah.
Yeah, hmm.
Like, I yes, it's probably fine.
All right. How good is Gonti's Aether Heart?
So it says exile on it.
Mm-hmm.
So you get one bonus turn.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to play it, then 3 more artifacts.
Unless you already have energy.
Sure. And then take another turn. You know what else you can do to take another turn?
Mm-hmm.
2 blue and 3.
Yes.
Like, I'm not saying the card's bad, but I don't think it's good.
Mm-hmm. I feel like this is a way to take extra turns in a deck that isn't blue, though.
Sure.
And extra turns are very powerful effects. So if you're playing the colorless artifact deck, this is probably pretty good. If you're playing, like...
But you also still have... Is it Ugin's Nexus that...
Yeah, but that's the one that...
You have to sack it to take an extra turn, but...
Hang on, but you need an opponent to take an extra turn, don't you, for Ugin's Nexus?
No, Ugin's Nexus says your opponents can't take extra turns. And then I think it's either sacrifice or when it goes to the graveyard, take an additional turn after this one.
If it would be put into a graveyard from the battlefield, exile it and take an extra turn instead. Yeah, that card's pretty good with...
Because the decks we're thinking about is like Duretti and stuff like that. That's an artifact-based deck. That probably already has a way to sacrifice an artifact, and there's less things to jump through.
Gonti's Aether Heart would be just as good in a Duretti deck, because you don't have to cast the artifacts, right?
Yeah, it's
just enter the battlefield, and like you could theoretically trigger this just with Servos.
Sure, and I'm not saying the card is bad. I'm just saying that
it's not
a lot
great.
Of hoops to jump through to take another additional turn.
It's not like overwhelming or anything. Man, speaking of the opposite of overwhelming, look at Heart of Charon.
Yeah, this card. So my Super Friends deck thinks this is cool.
Does it? Really? Your Super Friends deck cares about a Sarah Angel?
Cares about a Sarah Angel you can't kill with sorcery speed removal.
You couldn't pay me to care about a Sarah Angel. Killed with any kind of removal.
A Sarah Angel for 2?
A Sarah Angel that drains your loyalty counters?
But comes off of a Planeswalker whose current number I don't care about. Like, if you have one Walker, this is bad. If you have 2 walkers.
I don't know. I do not. Nah. It's a Sarah Angel.
Let me sell you on a line. This is...
No.
Here's my plan.
Okay.
Turn 1, Mountain, pick Simeon Spirit Guide, Heart of Charon.
Alright.
Turn 2...
You could have just Soul Ringed. You know that, right?
Hang on. This deck, this play is vintage, is not even... this is modern legal even.
Okay.
Turn 2, another Mountain, Tybalt up, do whatever I do with Tybalt, swing with a 4-4 on turn 2.
Okay. No. No, yeah, is the reaction you got. Or, turn 1, a single white, play Sarah Ascendant. Or, turn 1, play Deathrite Shaman or Orcish Lumberjack. Or, like,
admittedly, Lumberjack.
Where I'm going with this?
Yes, I'm not saying there's not as many silly, like, I'm saying this card is probably not bad in a Super Friends deck. I'm not saying it's going to be in every deck ever.
But Super Friends have to fit in all the Planeswalkers. I don't think they stick, I don't think some guy's like, yeah, I'm going to cut one of these Planeswalkers so I can slot in Heart of Charon.
I'm going to...
Got to get that flavor value.
That's part of it. Like, what Super Friends deck is not at its heart a flavorful deck?
All of them.
I disagree. I think that part of the joy of that deck is the idea that you're playing all the Planeswalkers and Planeswalker Matter cards.
I don't think Heart of Charon is going to see a whole lot of play in terms of EDH, but that's just me. In terms of, like, Standard or something, I'm sure someone will find a way to make it good.
Sure.
But, like Sarah Angel's not a terrible card in Standard, particularly on turn 2, but in EDH, no.
Will my Super Friends playing brothers and sisters comment in the bottom here and help me out
on the value of would you like to leech from your Super Friends in order to wake up Heart of Charon?
Right.
The only value it has is as a blocker for those Planeswalkers.
That's the point.
I will...
Like, yeah.
Okay. We have a cycle of implements that are mostly meh.
So the problem is the one that I want to be good is the red one, because that's the Toretti color.
Yes.
And the red one only does one damage.
To a player.
Right.
Not even creature or player.
Yeah
that's not very good.
Like, if the blue one cost less, I'd be all over it.
Mm-hmm. Feel like the black and green ones, again, just because of Glissa, might have some value. Particularly the black one. Target player discards a card, you draw a card, and you constantly get to recycle that. The green, and it only costs 3 total. The green one costs 2 total, and you get to put +1/+1 counter on stuff. That's not bad.
Mm-hmm. So those are the ones that are, like, the white one just does nothing. Like, it's cute if you need a, it says draw a card in white, which I guess is something if you're recurring it somehow, but for the most part, yeah. The blue one says draw a card on it, but it costs 3. Like, if it costs 2, I'd be all over it. Because then it's just divination.
Yeah, no. I'm not, I don't think any of these are great. But I think that Glissa will be the deck where some of them see play. Do we want to talk about the card that scares me the most that got printed in this set?
This Inspiring Statuary?
Yeah, that's a very scary effect.
So, yes, except for the fact that you've got a very complicated machine to get running to make that thing work.
How so?
You've got to have you've got to have enough artifacts out to power your non-artifact spells to have improvise. So you've got to kind of walk this weird fine line. This can't be like a Sharum deck where everything's an artifact.
That's fair.
Like, you've got to have, there's going to be a weird kind of balance you have to walk to make that thing work.
I was thinking more in terms of imminently recasting artifact commanders who aren't themselves artifacts. So Duretti becomes very recastable. Glissa becomes very recastable. Arkham Dagson becomes very recastable. The other thing is obviously a big fireball. But, like, that's what I... That's where my head was at.
Excuse me. I went to the same place, but I also think it's going to be a little bit more... There's going to be a little bit more moving pieces than you think.
All right, fair enough. Lifecrafter's Bestiary is a pretty good card.
Yeah, this is a fine little, like... this is a fine little green card.
This is an awesome alternative to top.
Yeah, I'm at the Bane Reaver upkeep. It gives you some card filter in green. It gives you some card draw in green. I like this card.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think it will be almost a must play in mono green decks.
Yeah, I'll any mono green creature deck, sure.
Mm-hmm.
I want Merchant's Dockhand to be good, but I'm pretty sure it's not.
It definitely isn't.
Yeah, it costs about 1 too much to activate.
Yeah, 4 and also a bunch of artifacts.
Now, admittedly, if it had didn't have the tap X, it was just the number of artifacts you control, it'd be kind of all over it at that point.
Metallic Mimic is just kind of like...
It's going to go in every tribal deck ever.
Well, it's just like the cousin to Adaptive Automaton, isn't it?
Yep, pretty much.
It's a little cheaper, and it counters. Yeah. That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Cards, don't get me wrong, cards not bad at all, and we'll see play in a bunch of tribal decks, but obvious cards are obvious.
Mm-hmm. Paradox Engine and Planar Bridge got reprinted?
Yeah, considering neither one of those cards are reprints, they're both new.
Hang on, what? Yeah. No, they aren't.
Yeah, they are.
Planar Bridge is reminding me of a different...
You're thinking
is
of Planar Portal.
Which does a very similar thing.
Yeah, let's talk about these two cards, because these are...
Okay.
Like, the card in the middle is not as important, but...
Okay.
Mostly what it says is that turn 3, that 7-11 can swing for 7. But, Paradox Engine says, whenever you cast a spell, untap all non-land permanents you control. This is a card that is either great or unplayable, and I'm not sure which.
It's broken.
Like it seems like I can't come up with something broken to do with this, other than give all my dudes pseudo-vigilance and have tap abilities go off, but...
Elf Ball.
Sure, that would be the obvious place for it.
Yeah, Elf Ball and anything that draws spell or draws cards, and it's fundamentally broken.
Mm-hmm. It just doesn't untap mana, so you have a bunch of mana dorks going.
What's the effect that's like Paradox Engine that I'm thinking? Intruder Alarm? Is that the one I'm thinking?
Yeah,
of?
You're probably thinking of Intruder Alarm.
There we go. Okay, cool. And Planar Bridge is almost exactly Planar Portal. That's
yeah,
why I'm...
except it puts it into the battlefield, not into your hand, and costs more to activate.
and cost more to activate for that reason. Eight is a pretty high cost to pay, but there's still cards that you don't want put directly onto the battlefield.
Yeah, surprise, Elish Norn.
I mean, Elish Norn costs seven. I was thinking more like, surprise, Ulamog, da-ba-da-ba-da-da.
Yeah,
Planar Bridge, it's going to be a pretty foil.
It is a pretty foil. I don't own one, but I've seen it. It's a real pretty foil. Expedition is also really pretty.
Yeah.
Or Masterpiece, that's what I'm looking for. Yeah.
Yeah. Renegade map is the world's crappiest Wayfarers map.
It's Expedition maps.
Wayfarers bobble.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scrap Trawler. Oh boy, this card.
Yeah, you get some. This card gets some mileage. Whenever it or another artifact you control is put into your graveyard from the battlefield, return to your hand target artifact card in your graveyard with lesser converted mana cost.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good artifact stuff getting printed. Scrap Trawler basically is like Junkbird. What's Junkbird's actual? Yeah, Junk Diver, that's its actual name. Or Mirror Retriever, except it makes all your artifacts do that.
Yeah. Cards
for one that cost slightly less.
Yeah. So Servo Schematic is in the vein of has an ability when it leaves the battlefield too.
Yeah, the Mycosynth Wellspring vein.
Yeah. Except it makes a 1/1 dude. So the exact mileage you're getting out of those other cards, you'll get out of this except for dudes instead of cards or what do you get with that? Lands? Yeah. So probably not as good as either of those two cards, but on the other hand, when it dies, it does things.
Can we talk about an uncommon that I think shouldn't be at uncommon?
Treasure Keeper?
Yes.
That card should not be an uncommon, you are correct.
Yeah. 4 mana for a 3/3. When it dies, you reveal cards from the top of your library until you reveal a non-land card with converted mana cost 3 or less. You may cast that card without paying its mana cost. So this is not a permanent. This is not put a permanent on the battlefield. This is cast a spell.
Yeah,
you may cast that card without paying its mana cost, put all revealed cards not cast this way on the bottom of your library in a random order. This is so abusable.
It's a cascade with on it dying.
Yes. Duretti is going to go nuts with this card.
Yep.
Universal Solvent is kind of the newest in the line of
Unstable seven. Obelisk. Or not Unstable Obelisk. Yeah, Unstable Obelisk.
Scour from Existence.
Yeah, Scour from Existence. Seven seems to be the seven colors, man, is how much you pay to destroy anything you want. And
in colorless. That's that seems to be it.
Untethered Express is pretty good. This is also an uncommon that maybe should not be an uncommon.
Whenever it attacks, put +1/+1 counter on it.
Yeah, crew for one.
Seems pretty good.
Yeah.
I love how vehicles now can make Norin an aggressive general.
Yeah. I giggle at this card too because it's the Triceratops from Power Rangers.
Yeah, it definitely looks like the Triceratops Megazord from Power Rangers. Or the Zord.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's only a Megazord when they combine. Almost lost a lot of nerd points there.
I was going to say, I'm like, you know who's met? Now you've managed. We've managed to anger the Pokemon people for not knowing the spooky doll thing, and we have now managed to annoy Power Ranger fandom. Tumblr will be all over us for this episode, Eric.
Mm-hmm. I think the last card we're going to talk about is Walking Ballista. Not last card, but last artifact card.
Do you want to talk about Walking Ballista?
I mean, it's good if you can abuse the +1/+1 counters on it, right?
Sure. I mean, it's a Triskelion. Or not Yeah, it's a Triskelion.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a cheaper Triskelion, right? So you can play this with McKay. Although, I guess with Micaeus, it doesn't actually enter the battlefield with, enough counters to use. You need a sac outlet.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yes, Walking Ballista. It's kind of like a Triskelion, except it costs X and X, and it enters the battlefield with X +1/+1 counters on it. You can pay for it to put a +1/+1 counter on it and remove a +1/+1 counter from it to deal one damage to a creature or player.
Yeah. So it's a convert mana to damage machine.
Yeah. If you liked the 2X Hangerback Walker, you probably like this as well.
Yeah, I don't know. Hangerback is better, but you're right. This deck is fine, or this card is fine. Then we have Spire of Industry, which I guess was printed like I feel like at one point this was on the Artifact Commander sheet, and they cut it to put it in this set.
I guess it's like a crappier City of Brass.
Yeah, this card is fine. Like, it taps for a colorless, mm-hmm. or pay a life to add a mana of any color, and you can only activate it if you have an artifact. So it's kind of Glimmer Voidy.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, like, it has that feel to it, which is fine. This card has the advantage of tapping for colorless and not having to hurt yourself.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess, but it's a small advantage.
Yeah, it's not a great card, but it's probably fine in the right deck.
Mm-hmm.
You could also make the argument that most decks at any given time probably have an artifact kicking around.
Yeah, so if you're in really, really hurting for it, then go ahead, but there's better versions of this.
Yeah, and that's the set.
That is the set. That is all of it. How do you feel about it?
I like this set. There's a lot of kind of cool Johnny things. The power level is not real high. Like, as far as just, there's a few really powerful cards, you know,
mm-hmm.
Raksha's Expertise, Paradox Engine, Planar Portal. There's a few, like, marquee, these cards are really good. But beyond mm-hmm. that, there's a lot of solid role player cards. You know, you and I even kept having named specific generals cards are good for. It's not like there's going to be, there's no, like, this card is universally in every blue deck from now until the end of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no Cyclonic Rift. There's no...
I mean, the green card is probably going to go in every mono-green creature deck. I would argue there's a couple pretty powerful cards getting printed. I just think that their power level is all over the place. Like, there's a couple really powerful cards, and then there's a couple cards that are never going to see EDH play ever, ever, ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all in all, though, I like the set. I love the... I'm still kind of in love with the fact that this set is bright and shiny. Like, yes, we're having a revolution and we're fighting the bad guys, but it's not like we're fighting some, like, cloaked dark evil.
Yeah, this is a prettier, happier, more Disney-friendly set than most of the Magic sets that have ever been printed, probably.
Yeah, probably. Like, even compared to, especially compared to what we've done recently with
Shadows of Innistrad
and Battle for Zendikar.
Yeah, this is a very refreshing change of pace from the, y'all are doomed forever, you're gonna get completely smashed and torn apart, and Lovecraft is going to write stories about your corpses, Eldrazi.
Right, I like this set, so, yeah, that's kind of my thoughts. Yours?
I think the power level's way all over the place with this set. I think it's, and I don't generally view that as a sign of good set design. So there's that too. There's a lot of cards in here that I think are really, really strong, like maybe too strong, bordering on too strong. And then just so many cards that are unusable. So the fact that they're all over the map is a little iffy to me. That being said, this is also the first set that legitimately has cards that I'm pumped about, like really, really can't wait to get my hands on. I'm hesitant to be excited for the mono black general, just because my heart has been broken by mono black so many times. Every time I try and make it just doesn't come out fun, but I do want to give it a shot. That green card is bananas. Like, there is some really cool stuff in here, but I think that Kaladesh was almost inarguably a better set.
And on my mind, the jury's still out. We will see.
Mm-hmm. All right, and that's it for today. I'm going to bed. Where can they reach you, Noel?
Yeah, if you were trying to reach me, my email is noelclausen, NoelClausson @gmail.com. I'm also on the Twitters @MTGNoel.
You can get a hold of me when I'm not sleeping at ericbonvie@gmail.com, ericbonvie@gmail.com, in the comments below on CommanderCast, or on our Facebook page at facebook.com/rivalsduel.
Yep, and if you're looking for a direct RSS feed of the show, it is feeds.feedburner.com/rivalsduel.
Yep, and that's it for tonight, folks. I am going to bed. See you later.
Yep. Thanks for listening.
Alright, so let's move on to the Multicolor Legend.
Multicolor Legend? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, is it one?
Oh. Okay, you're going to apologize, and I'm going to sit here and be quiet until you do.
No, I'm not. Come on. Come on. No. Let's talk about it. Don't you remember how excited I was for Zergo and Colligan? Remember how kind you were about that? Let's talk about your Is It legend. I don't see it. Is it in a different section on the card image gallery? Did I misplace it? Did Wizards misplace it, Noel? Come on, Noel. You're the guy who has to edit all this silence out. Are you okay there, buddy? On. It? What does it do? It's artifacty, right? Because it's in Kaladesh. I can't find it anywhere. Does it do something with vehicles? I'd be annoyed if it did something with vehicles. That doesn't seem very, is it? Does it draw cards? Does it draw cards and deal damage? Ariane, Noel is mad at me. Because I'm making fun of the card that he wanted to get printed and didn't get printed because Wizards hates him. Why does Wizards hate him? I don't know. He insulted someone's mother once. I'm sorry, Noel.
That's better. I'm back. The best part is I'm gonna leave that entire like 2.5 minutes and just chop it and put it at the end with like not running truncate silence on it, so it will be honestly that long.
So how mad are you?
I'm annoyed. I feel like this could have been a set where they could have done that, and there's a lot of people clamoring for it. To be honest, I had kind of forgotten that I was so hopeful for it until you brought it up.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad I was able to bring the sting back for you.
Anyway, worst case scenario, I went, you know, it's only 8 o'clock at night here, and we'll
Yeah, I'll outlast him.
pretty much.